Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Hallelujah. Do you know that this place belongs to us? This world belongs to us because God has given it to the believers? Do you know that? Do you realize that? Do you realize where He said that I will... He told Adam and Eve to go and take dominion over the earth. When God gave Adam and Eve dominion over this planet, I'm going to say this, just check this out. When God gave dominion to Adam and Eve over this planet, God is a very judicial type of person. You know, God, he will not break His word. He won't go around His word. When He gave it to man, He said, here, it's in your hands. Take dominion over it. Adam, yeah, we know. Adam messed up. Is that right? Yeah, we know that. Yeah. So much so that God had to use man to speak His words into the earth so that He could accomplish what He wanted to do. Do you know that? That's the way God is. He's so proper in the way He gave it to man. So now man has to speak His word into the earth so that it can happen. So when God spoke to the prophet Isaiah, said, a virgin will conceive and bear a son. That prophet had a choice. Can I say that, or should I say that, or shouldn't I? How many of you know that's contrary? That's weird. You know, people around you are going to say, are you kidding me? A virgin's going to conceive and have a son. Yeah. But I'm glad the prophet spoke it. Amen. Because once he spoke it, it began to break forth all these other things of the word of God that God would say to the earth. He said, through a man, through prophets, through seers, through all these guys, to bring forth what's going on even today. Do you know that we are possessors of this earth? Do you know that? Do you realize it? Do you understand it? Sometimes we don't get it. We just don't know how important we are in God's plan on the earth today. You just don't know. And God's saying, look, everything that I've promised, it's real to you. It's a reality. But you're going to have to go for it. You're going to have to dig for it. I was talking to a man this morning, a young man up in the street. And I was telling him how much that God has for you, but you cannot find it unless you're in God's words, because it takes God's word to reveal what He has for you. Do you know that? Do you know that personally? His word will open up those things that He has for you personally. You're going to see things that you've never seen before, because you're asking God, God, show me what you got for me. His word will do that. He are so specific. You are so pre-planned by God, but God is saying, you gotta get to my word so I can speak these things to you. You gotta let me uncover these things. Hallelujah. And you will be a light to the world like the world's never seen. Folks, we've never seen the kind of light that God's trying to show in the earth today. We've never seen that brightness. The earth has never shown it. The body of Christ today, God is preparing us to shine like crazy. Do you know that? Romans chapter 9, He says, a work in righteousness, He will work on the earth, a short work in righteousness. And then He says, it'll be over. God's going to use the body of Christ to show the world what they've never believed, what they've never seen, what they've never heard about God. The body of Christ is going to show it, and God's going to remove us from the earth. Is that cool? It's getting ready to happen, folks. It really is. So get ready. Get ready. Get into the word of God like you've never been in there before. Pray like you've never been there before. Talk to God like you've never been. And that's all prayer is just speaking with God. It's just having communion with God. We take communion back here, but the real communion God's after is not just you taking a bread and drinking a little bit of grape juice. The real communion He's looking for is you're talking to Him and Him speaking to you and you understanding what He's saying to you about who you are. Praise God. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. You're so, so important to God. Every one of you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Today, we're talking about strength for this year. How many of you guys know that? This is a year of strength. God's going to bring strength into the body of Christ like we've never seen it before. This is the year of strength. Strength is happening. God is strengthening you even right now. And then the title of the sermon this morning is Strength in Unity. We are more powerful together than we are by ourselves. In God's presence, as you go into God's presence on your own by yourself, God begins to speak to you and begins to show you things, begins to help you with things. And then when you get around others, those things that he showed you, you begin to share those things with your brothers and sisters. And then they, what they've been listening in the closet with God, they begin to share those things. And then somebody else begins to share those things. And it builds this unity in the body of Christ like we've never seen before. It is because it's strength being poured into the body by the members of the body. You guys read 1 Corinthians? By the members, every person working that which they've been given to the edifying of the body and the building it up. Every person. So I need you guys to minister to me. Come on, man. Can I tell you that? Is it okay? Yeah, I'm the pastor, yeah. But I'm just the guy. I need you guys minister to me. We need one another. Hallelujah. Know this, that God's going to have his way. You know that? You can resist him all you want, but he's going to have his way. He will. Hallelujah. Because he's God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Wow. If you got your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 11. Glory to God. Mark chapter 11. I'm going to talk a little bit about prayer. How many of you guys like prayer? I see one hand over there. Two hands, three hands. Come on, five, six. There we go. Now we're going. Yeah. Come on, Pastor. I was looking in my Bible. So, you know, I was digging around, looking for Mark chapter 11 when you asked that question. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, prayer is a motivating thing of the church. It is what pulls us and drag. It's what not drag. Yeah, maybe drags it, but it is the thing that moves us forward. How many know that? A church that's not praying is a church that is staying in the same place. Do you know that? It's not moving. Because prayer is a place where God speaks to your heart and you begin to go and do the things that you've heard. Hallelujah. Prayer. Prayer. Hallelujah. Sometimes, to some folks, sometimes you think that might be just kind of a bad word, the way some folks act about prayer, man. Well, I'll tell you something. God opens things in prayer. He shows you things in prayer. It's prayer that God reveals things to you. It's being in his presence in prayer that he begins to open things to you and show you things. So get ready. Get ready for him to show you things. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for revelation, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Lord, reveal to us today things we've never seen. Show us things, Father God. Show us, God, the things that you have for us today. Not the things that we know about, that we learned about these scriptures last year or years ago, Lord. But for today, show us things, Lord. We thank you for it and we praise you for it. If you agree, say amen. 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 Praise God. Mark chapter 11, starting at verse 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the evening tide was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12. And on the morning, or the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And would not allow that any man should carry any vessel through the streets. through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called the house of all nations, the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. Praise God. He wasn't very political, was he? He was very to the point. And he said, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. I like what it says right there about them being astonished at his doctrine. Why were they astonished at his doctrine? Do you know what made it so astonishing to them? His doctrine came from the Word of God. Everything that he said came from God's Word. He himself was the Word of God in the flesh. So his doctrine, when he would speak things, it was astonishing to them how powerful it was. It's pretty cool. And when evening was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say to you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Pretty big check, would you say? Kind of a big blank check. whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you have it, and he says, and you'll receive. Crazy. He says, and when standing praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. For if you do not forgive, listen, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. I like this story, because what's happening is when Jesus is talking about his house is to be the house of prayer, it's kind of encapsulated in this little story about a fig tree, isn't it? He goes early in the morning on one day, and he just checks out the temple. He goes in, and he sees what's going on. Hallelujah. And I'm wondering if the people were looking at him saying, man, oh, there's Jesus. And they said, man, he's just looking around. Spends a whole day in there, and then leaves. The next morning, he's headed to go back to the temple, and the Bible says that he was hungry. So he walks up to a fig tree. And there's no figs on it. And the Word of God even says it here, for the time was not, it wasn't the time for figs. Is that right? How many of you know that Jesus knew that it wasn't time for figs? Do you know that I believe that he even knew there was no figs there? Do you know that? I believe the whole deal about the fig tree was to show his disciples something. Do you know that? And it's the same thing for us today. Because I'm thinking, when I'm reading this, I go, man, you know, Lord, you're kind of mean. You're kind of mean to that tree. All of a sudden, I became a tree hugger. Hey, you're mean to this tree. Yeah, why are you being so mean? Shriveled it up. I go, but the whole thing was for his disciples. Because it says, and his disciples heard it. He said it loud enough so that his disciples would hear what he said. He said, okay, no more figs from you from now on. Goes into the temple. And he looks around and then goes on a little rampage. How many know that? You know that Jesus went on a rampage in that temple? The Bible says he began to kick over tables. The Word of God says that he began to, you know, hey, cast out, toss these things out. And what was crazy about it was that everybody knew he was exactly right. Isn't that right? the Pharisees, even though they hated him, he upset them for doing that. They knew he's right. He says, man, my house is to be called the house of prayer. My house is a house of prayer. And you've made it into a den of thieves. When Jesus spoke that, he was speaking a couple of things out of the Old Testament. So I'm going to take you to Isaiah 56. Let's look at this. Isaiah 56. I'm going to start at verse 6. And I like this. I really do love this scripture. I see myself in this scripture. But he starts out, he says also, because he's speaking some things, but we're just going to go from 6 and 7. He says, also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord. Can I tell you that unless you're Jewish, you're kind of a son of the stranger? Do you know that? Do you know that's us? The sons or daughters of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord. How many have joined yourself to the Lord? Come on. He's brought you in. He's talked to you and he's brought you in. So the son of the stranger that joined themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and takes hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of what? Prayer. I will bring them in and I will make them joyful in my house of prayer, that their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar. And then he says this, for my house shall be called a house of prayer to all people. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something, folks? The house of the Lord is not to play bingo in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The main function of the house of the Lord should be prayer. I believe that's what Jesus is saying. There should be quite a focus on prayer where he says, my people, the sons of the strength, all his people gather together and we pray. We believe God. Oh yeah, teaching is included in there, teaching and you know, worshiping and everything. But I'm going to tell you, the house of the Lord. The Lord is saying that. He says, he kicked them all out, kicked everything going on in there, man. He said, my house is a house of prayer. It's supposed to be. It's a house for prayer. And then he mentions another thing. What is the other thing he mentions? But you have turned it into what? Oh, man. This, I believe that the Jewish leaders knew exactly what he was talking. Jeremiah chapter 7, starting at verse 8, he says this, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now to my place, which is in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus was talking a couple of things can I tell you, the Jewish leaders, they knew exactly what he was saying. When he said, you know, my house is supposed to be a house of prayer, but you've turned it into a den of thieves. And I'm sure they were thinking, oh, Jeremiah chapter 7. Adulteries, all these different things. And you come into my house and you, can I tell you that God sees everything in our hearts? Can I say that to you? Can I plead with you? Please check yourself. See if you're in the faith. Know that God is looking not only at you on the outside, but he sees everything going on inside. You cannot hide from him. You cannot hide from the eyes of the Lord. We are, the Bible says in Hebrews, we are naked and open with him. That's just our lives. can't pull the wool over his eyes. Is that what is that? You can't. He knows what's under the cup. He knows where it's at. He knows everything, and you cannot hide from it. Hallelujah. Basically, that's what Jesus was saying when he said, "My house should be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." Hallelujah. I was talking with Pastor John the other day and just discussing some things. And we did a calendar for the year. And Pastor John was talking, he says, maybe we'll do something different with prayer. And he says, because there just seems to be struck my heart, because what his words were, he says, there just seems to be a little kind of a lack of interest. Oh man. And you know, as a pastor, what do you think? As a pastor, I'm going, oh man, a lack of interest in prayer. And look, folks, don't get me wrong. Don't get Pastor John wrong in this statement. We know people pray. I mean, people say, well, I'm praying just because I don't show up. You know, I mean, we get like that. Can I tell you that we get like that? Just because I don't show up don't mean I'm not praying. Come on. But folks, we offer corporate prayer here. We do. We try not to make it very tedious for you. We don't want you burn out. We don't want you, but as far as I know, there's only been a certain group that have come in to pray. And I'm asking, as a pastor of this church, I'm just asking everybody, consider coming in, because I don't want to give up something that I feel is so needed in our body. Is prayer time. The reason I say that is because we never know when somebody's going through something, and then we're having prayer, and somebody will walk through those doors, and we've got prayer time. We said, we can pray with you, man. I don't want to give up anything. I don't want to go backwards. I want to go forwards. And I believe that these prayer times can be actually grow and get stronger and stronger, to where people are actually saying, man, I'm there, man. I'm going to be there for you, Pastor. We're gonna pray. We're gonna make this house a house of prayer. Hallelujah. Corporate prayer is so important to the body. Do you know that? Do you know it? Are you convinced of that? You know, I'm gonna take you to, let me take you to Acts chapter 4. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can I say something to you? If you feel like you're getting convicted, I'm not trying to do that. It's not my job. If you're getting convicted, let me say something to you. That's the Holy Ghost. Know that. Don't get mad because the Holy Ghost says something to you, because maybe he's trying to change something. Can I tell you that? Is that okay if I tell you that, say that to you? Sometimes the Holy Spirit will say something to you, and we get mad at pastor because he said something, and yet it's not him. It's the Holy Spirit saying something to you. Look, I'm trying to adjust you. I mean, you need adjusting. I still need adjusting. I'm always needing adjusting. Hallelujah. Ask Rosie. She'll tell you. God, come on, Henry. Get off of that. Hallelujah. Adjustment. Bringing the glory of God out of you. Hallelujah. So if you get a little, he might be talking to me. That could be the Holy Spirit. I would say that's more likely. That is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to build you up. Hallelujah. And so will you work with what we give you this morning? Is that okay? Is that cool? Hallelujah. Consider spending some time with the body of Christ in our prayer times, twice a month. Hallelujah. Consider that. I'm asking you for that. Hallelujah. Just watch these scriptures. Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 1, says this. And as they spoke unto the people, the priests and the captain. Well, let me give you what happened was. Peter and John went into the temple, and in front of before they went into the temple, there was a little man sitting by the gate, and he was begging. And Peter and John looked at him, and the Bible says that Peter fastened his eyes on him, and the man's looking at him, and he goes, "Hey, you got something for a beggar?" And Peter says something to him. He says, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man got up and he's standing. He goes in with them into the temple, praising God, leaping and jumping. But I like that part where it says that Peter fastened his eyes on him. Do you like that? I like the way it says fastened his eyes. And I'll can give you a little bit of example because you've done it. How many of you have fastened your eyes on somebody? I'm not talking about lust. Come on, man. I'm talking about looking at somebody. How many of you have been in a hotel or been in a restaurant, been in Safeway, been in somewhere, and all of a sudden you look at somebody and you get your feeling of compassion towards them. Have you ever noticed that when you feel that, well, I kind of feel sorry for that guy or whatever kind of thing that's going on, you ever notice that you just kind of keep watching them? You ever notice that? That's fixing your eyes on them. That's what he's talking about. He fixed his eyes on them. And he's looking at him, he's walking by. And he raises up his hand and he stops and goes, hey man, that's what he's talking about. He fixed his eyes. There was a heart of compassion in Peter. There's a heart of compassion in you because Christ dwells in you. So he's going to show you people that you can minister to. And one of the ways you're going to know that is because of the compassion that you feel towards them. You'll feel a connect. You'll say, man, I got to go say something to this guy. It's really cool. It really is how God uses you with that so that you can minister. Well, the guy jumps up, gets all fired up, goes in the temple with him, and he's dancing, he's jumping around. He goes, man, I got more than gold and silver. I got healed. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Goes in. So how many know the Pharisees, they don't like this kind of stuff going on. Is that right? Because Peter and John begin to tell the people that are in the temple, who, because they recognize that guy that used to be the beggar out in front. They recognize him. And so Peter and John begin to tell him, look, man, this guy, don't think of us as anything. It is because of Jesus Christ who you crucified, who you turned over to the Romans, and they whipped him and they did whatever they wanted to do to him, put him on a cross. And he died. But God raised him from the dead. And because of that, you're going to see this is why this man is walking, jumping, and leaping is because of Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. Woo, come on, man. The reason I'm here, Jesus. The only reason that I know of. Jesus. Hallelujah. So they're upset at him. They're oh man, what are we going to... So now, this is where we're at. The high priest gets a little bit involved, okay? So here we are. Now, Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 1, it says, as they spoke unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day. For it was now eventide, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of men was about, how many? 5,000. No altar call. Just come on in. Okay, anyway, sorry. And it came to pass on the morning that the rulers and the elders and the scribes, Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked,
by what power or by what name have you done this?
Should have never said that. Hallelujah. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, which it was, be it known unto all, to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. He's talking to the Jewish high priests and their families. That's who he's addressing them. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we what? Must be saved. When was the last time you said that to anybody? For a friend, you can do whatever you want, but if you want to get saved, if you want to keep yourself out of hell, there's only one name that you can take. His name is Jesus. The only name. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Don't you like that? I like that. Something about, because that talks a little bit about me. You know, unlearned. But, you know, let me just say this to you. I might be unlearned in the things of this world, but God has positioned me so that I can learn the things of the kingdom that's up there. The kingdom where he's at, that's where he's positioned me, and that's where he's positioned every one of you so that you can learn how the kingdom up there runs. Hallelujah. And it does not work by the wisdom of men. Is that what the Word of God tells us that? All the time, every place. It does not work by man's wisdom. It works by the Spirit of God. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's how the kingdom works. Hallelujah. And these guys were unlearned and ignorant. Sounds ugly, but it sounds good in the kingdom. Isn't that weird? Oh, bread and butter to me, man. Come on now, James. It says, verse 13, and now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Yeah. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men?
Before it was, who do you think you are talking in Jesus' name?
And now they're going, hey, what are we going to do with you guys? For indeed, a notable miracle has been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them. Isn't that cool? How do you like when people threaten you? You guys like that? Come on, man. Can I tell you this morning? The world today, the news media today are threatening you. Yes. They are saying things to you, trying to keep you quiet. You're being threatened. Brother Pat, can you come over? Going to need a mic. Pat shared me this morning, and I'm not sure if he was ready to do this, but ready or not, here we come. Amen. Praise God. Go ahead, brother. Share what you got.
Well, Pastor Henry didn't mention that he was going to be speaking on this particular thing this morning. So when I told him what when I was reading the Word this morning, how many times have we heard Pastor Henry say, when we meet him or we spend time with him early in the morning? Mm-hmm. You know, so every morning when my wife and I get up, we spend some time, I read the Word out loud to her. And this particular, in Acts 14, verse 1, it says, now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude of the Jews and the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. And we see this happening. We see this happening every day on the news, yesterday on the street corners. You see people out there with signs, you know, yelling and screaming, trying to get us to silence ourselves and not speak that name of Jesus. Mm. It happened back then. It's happening now.
Yeah.
But as for me and my house, you know,
come on. That's
it's right. Not going to happen on our watch. Amen?
Amen. Praise
it
God.
It ain't going to happen. That's God right. Is going to be God, and we're not going to be silenced. In that's Jesus' right. name.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Folks, you are being threatened. Do you hear me? You're being threatened. This is a time to continue to keep speaking those things louder and louder. How many of you know the Word of God tells us that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood? Is that right? But against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. Can I tell you, if you look at the Word of God, you're going to find out that we are already victors in that area. We have Jesus won the battle. You don't have to be fighting that battle. The battle you need to is to hold on to your Word of God. It's to fight the good fight of faith. Faith comes by the Word of God. Is that right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. You fight the battle of faith. That's what he's talking about. Hallelujah. The enemy's already been defeated. Don't worry about him. Keep pushing towards God. Keep pushing yourself into the kingdom of God and you watch. Watch what God does. Hallelujah. Don't be distracted. The world is trying to lie to you. And God is trying to place truth in your heart. Is that right? Isn't that cool, man? Spend time in him. Hallelujah. They threaten them. The world's threatening us, man, folks. Hallelujah. So he says, but that is spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. What name? The name of Jesus. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine that? These guys. Verse 19 says that Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than to God, you judge. That's a really good answer. Isn't that right? Okay. So you don't want us to talk this way, but you know, God has told us to talk this way. So we're going to go ahead and talk this way. But if you think that we should not talk this way, what do you think is better? Should we listen to you or should we listen to God? Whew. Folks, we're still in that same position. What are you listening to? Hallelujah. What are you listening to? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, Pastor Henry. That's a good word, man. I'm telling you, that's a good word. Hallelujah. What are you listening to? Man. Come on, man. Hallelujah. If I don't get it from him, I'll get it from myself. No, just kidding. Hallelujah. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they could punish them. Because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old. Amen? Lame from his birth, was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company. This is what I want you to look at. They went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the people rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant, listen to this, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Folks, this was prayer going on. These men were praying. They were corporate. They were together praying. And they were saying, Lord, do you see what they're saying? Lord, would you give us boldness that we may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal? Praise God. Good prayer. Amen. If there's anything that's attractive to the world, it's healing. Amen. It is really healing, folks. It is. It will pull the world in like nothing else, because once they see people getting healed, they will come. They will come. Is that right? How many of you guys all feel the dreams? This is my dream, that people, when they come in, will, I mean, with you, Pastor, amen? When two of us shall agree concerning anything, will it be done? It will be done. When they walk in, they will be healed according to the word of God. Hallelujah. It will draw them in, and it will draw the forces of the Gentiles, those things, their income and stuff, it will draw that into the kingdom of God so it can be used for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Folks, we're talking about an end time harvest. Hallelujah. Hura kasat. And he says, and by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Glory to God. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Does God like corporate prayer? Oh, he loves it, man. He loves it. Corporate prayer brings a unity to the body. Do you know that? I'm all for every, and man, and let me just say this. I love the fact that every one of us are spending time in the presence of God. But folks, you know what? When we come together to pray, there becomes a unity in it. And it's so powerful to us. Please do not let off the prayer times that are established by this church. Do not pass them off as nothing. I don't need to be that tonight. I don't need to be that. We need to touch our city, and that's how it's done. Do you see that? Watch this. I got one more story for you. So if you will, turn to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Oh, glory to God. It says, now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands. About that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the churches. Can I tell you that's happening today? The world are stretching forth their hand to try to vex the churches of America. The churches of the world, trying to shut them up, shut them down. We don't need them anymore. We're in a new age. We don't need those. Folks, they need us. They don't know they need us. Is that right? They just don't know. They got no idea how much they need us. Hallelujah. Now, about that time, King Herod, the king, stretched forth his hand to vex the children of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarters. How you say that? Quaternions, whatever, of soldiers to keep them. That means 16 soldiers. Intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But listen to this. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Unceasing prayer. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Hallelujah. You know, the word of God says that God gives his beloved sleep. They killed James. They've got Peter. The next day is the day they're going to... And you know what Peter's doing? Asleep. Yeah. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the doors of the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. Don't you love that? And a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. He's asleep. Peter, get up, man. Get up. Isn't that right? Peter's asleep. Peter's not expecting anything. But there is a church that's praying. And they're asking God to watch over Peter. Huh. Hallelujah. And the word of God says that God said, go get him. Was it Gabriel? Was it Michael? I don't know. It was an angel of the Lord that went after Peter. Praise God. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And the chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself." Gird yourself. Gird yourself. "Bind on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Cast your garment around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Peter's thinking he's dreaming. I'm dreaming here. This don't happen. This is a prison. When they were past the first and second ward, they came under the iron gate that leads under the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered praying together. Do you see that? How many were gathered?
Many.
Many were gathered. There was a corporate prayer. It was folks concerned about a thing, and they were praying about it. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said to her, "You're mad. You're crazy. He's in jail." Here's the reality of it, girl. Here are the things that are real. He's in jail. He can't get out. She goes, "He's at the door." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And then they said, "It's his angel." It's his angel. Isn't it funny? Just go up and answer the door. And wouldn't you say? Just go answer the door, man. Who's knocking? I don't know. I think it's Peter. "You're crazy." "Well, that's his angel." But they wouldn't go. I'll tell you what. I don't know. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were what? Astonished, amazed. But he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. And I tell you, folks, do you see how corporate prayer works? It is powerful to us. It is powerful to us. So I am not just asking, I am kind of pleading. I am saying, look, as a church that's moving forward, we need everyone, if you can, to spend some time with us in prayer. Take these evenings that we have twice a week. It's the second Thursday, the second week. How do I say this? The second and fourth Thursdays of the month. Easy to remember. 5:30. Because I believe that we're in a time when we're going to see things done that God will do because the body of Christ is praying in one accord. Learning those things that you learn from God in your own prayer time, in your own time when you're talking to Him and He's speaking to you and He's building you up and He's strengthening you. You come into a corporate body and you share some of those things. And my God, I'll tell you what. Can I tell you that there is power in that? Can I say to you that's how God will move us? That's how He'll transport us from this position to another position, to another position, to another position, where this whole valley is going to be touched by the kingdom of God. Is that right? Come on, hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's God doing a work. It really is. Hallelujah. Our power verse today is Matthew 18:18-20. It says this: "Verily, verily, I say to you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." Hallelujah. What happens when there's 10 of us? What happens when there's 20 of us? What happens when there's 50 of us? What happens? Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Let your faith arise. Let what you're hearing, let faith come up in your life. Let it right now as you're listening, let it rise up and say, God, what can happen? What can happen if we begin to join together and speak the same thing? This morning, you know what I had a privilege of doing? I had three little girls and two young men. And we're standing over there by the trash bin over there. And I said, look, you guys, I want to tell you something. This is your new playground. Looks a little weird right now, but it's your new playground. Let's raise our hands and thank God for this playground. And those little kids, you know, man, thank you, God, for our playground. Thank you for the grass. Thank you for... I believe it. Man, you know what? If I can't get you to do it, I'm going to get them to do it. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They're expecting a playground. I said, you go home, you tell your kid, you tell your mom and dad, hey, that's my playground. Don't look good right now, but it's going to be my playground. Because that's how faith works. That's how it works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. I got one more scripture. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. James chapter 5. Hallelujah, Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Lord, have your way. Chapter 5, James chapter 5, 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. That's a gathering, folks. That's a gathering. And let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15 is truth. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How much more when they're gathered together? Those righteous men are gathered together. How much more? How much more does it avail? Hallelujah. And then it says this. Elias, he's talking about Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18, I'm sorry, guys. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Prayer. Prayer. Folks, we need it. We need it. Can you stand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We need it. We need the prayer of the saints. I covet the prayer of the saints. I'm asking you that you would pray like you've never prayed before. And the only way that I know that will help you pray is when once you begin to pray, the Holy Ghost will come down and begin to help you and to cause you to speak things that you never even thought you would be speaking. So, Father, I just thank you for your people. I'm asking you, Father, that by your Spirit, Lord, as we bow our knees to pray, as we humble ourselves before you, Father, as we give you glory and praise, Lord, that you would cause prayer, effectual, fervent prayer to rise up in your people, Father. We thank you for it. For God, we give you praise and glory and honor what you're doing in our city, in our state, in our country, on our world, God. For we are the possessors of these things because of your word, Father. We thank you for it, God. I just pray that you would touch your people. Let everyone that walks out these doors, let the healing promised by your scriptures, Father God, just as they're moving out, let healing flow like a river. In Jesus' name we pray. If you guys agree, say amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming to church this morning. We love you guys. We love you guys. We love you guys. Hallelujah.